You are listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Four names: Charles Gordon, Barbara Hicks, Willie Pittman, Geraldine Walker. Four members of the Great Migration who moved to Boston. All told, more than 6 million Black Americans journeyed from south to north in the Great Migration, which was a period of 60 years in the 20th century. And between 1950 and 1980, the number of Southern-born Black Americans living in New England more than tripled. And in Boston, in the roughly 100 years following the Civil War, the Black population grew by nearly 125,000. Nevertheless, Boston doesn't figure prominently in the histories of the Great Migration, and author Blake Gumprecht set out to fix that. The result? North to Boston, Life Histories from the Black Great Migration in New England, which tells the stories of 10 migrants, including Charles, Barbara, Willie, Geraldine, who came from places like Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, to Boston. All 10 found community at the historic Charles Street AME Church in Roxbury. So here to talk about it, Blake Gumprecht joins us on the line from El Paso, Texas, and here in Studio 2, Reverend Greg Groover, who is senior pastor at the Charles Street AME Church. Blake, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Greg Groover, great to talk to you again.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's good to be here.
So, Blake, I'm going to start by just reading a couple of sentences from the book. We seldom hear voices like these. The experiences of ordinary people teach us far more about America than any number of histories about important events or biographies of politicians and movie stars. These are people like us. Why wouldn't you care about them? So is that what set you out to write this book?
Well, I wanted to represent the stories of regular Black Bostonians who had migrated from the South. Migration is the story of people who make that decision to uproot their lives, take a huge chance and move a great distance to try to improve their lives. And I wanted to tell the story of those people. I didn't want to just tell a larger story through statistics and facts. I wanted to tell the story through the people who made that move.
And how did you find your way to Charles Street AME Church to tell that story?
Well, that was a rather circuitous process. This book grew out of a much larger book project on the history of migration to New England. I wanted one chapter in that book to be about Black migration. I'd done the statistical research and confirmed that there was significant migration of Blacks from the South to Boston, even though nothing really had been written about it. So I set out to make some connections in the Black community in Boston. I contacted ministers, I contacted academics, I contacted journalists, and I really struggled to get anywhere. In fact, I had Black leaders in Boston deny to me that there had been any significant Black migration from the South. Finally, one day, I don't remember why, I contacted Reverend Groover. And Reverend Groover's own family had migrated from the South to New York City, very aware of the Great Migration, very aware that many of his parishioners were part of that Great Migration. So finally, after a lot of struggle, I found somebody who got it, and Reverend Groover helped connect me to a number of people in his church, helped me arrange interviews with them. Even after I moved to Texas, took some photos of me, since I couldn't take photos of a couple people in the book. So Reverend Groover deserves, my thanks. He was a huge help. This book would not exist without him. He got it, and I appreciate that.
What does it mean that you got it, Greg Groover?
I'm a part of that history, as Blake stated a few moments ago. My mother was born in Somerville, South Carolina, and she went up to New York when she was 18 years old. Immediately after graduating from high school, she met my dad, who's from Savannah, Georgia, who was in New York at the time. And they got married and had 8 children. And so we were very much connected with the Black migration story. We're products of it. And when I came to Charles Street, not just at Charles Street, but all of the churches that I served as ministers, whether it was in Harlem or in the South Bronx or even in Freeport, Long Island, all of the churches were vastly attended by persons who had migrated from the South, African Americans from the South, starting as early as the 1950s all the way up to the 1980s. So when I came to Charles Street, there was a wealth of members who were from the South.
So I just want to note for listeners, sort of officially, the Great Migration was a period from 1910 to the 1970s. You know, there's sort of bleed on either end of that. It was a huge migration of 6 million people. But again, there's room on both ends of that. And part of the reason we're talking about the time frame we are is that we're talking about mostly the living, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Across that longer track. What I want to do now with both Blake Gumprecht and Greg Groover is I want to talk about people. I want to tell some stories, right? Blake, maybe I'll turn to you and maybe you can tell us. I'm going to reserve Elta Garrett to talk with Reverend Groover about. And I'm glad that I'm seeing the laugh and the joy, so I'm glad we picked that. Tell us about someone, Blake, for you. Geraldine Walker is on my mind, but maybe there's a different story you want to pick.
Well, Geraldine is one of the sort of more remarkable stories in the book because her experiences in the South were especially traumatic. She left school after the eighth grade. She got a job as a domestic in the home of a white family in Alabama, in rural Clay County, Alabama, where she grew up. And she was assaulted, raped by an adult member of that household. And that was really part of, a childhood of just one bad experience after another. Her family, her dad was trying to get ahead in any way possible, and was a bootlegger as a result, as a way to make more money and maybe buy land so he could farm. And they had a cross burned on their lawn by the Ku Klux Klan. When Geraldine used to get off the school bus, white kids would throw rocks at her and her siblings. I mean, the number of traumatic experiences she had growing up really drove her out of the South. Her experiences were more negative than most people in the book. One of the interesting aspects of doing these interviews is that I discovered that most of the people I interviewed had pretty good lives in the South. They managed to carve out rewarding, enjoyable lives despite the racism that was all around them. Geraldine was very much an exception to that, however.
So I want to pull out two things there, Blake. First, Geraldine told you this story firsthand recently. The experiences that she is talking about are not experiences of 150 years ago history. This is mid-20th century.
Correct.
The other thing is, and I'll disclose here, I first met Reverend Greg Groover as a board member of an organization that I ran. And one of the things that I learned early on from Reverend Groover is the idea that one of the most intimate things you can do is share the details of your story with someone. And it must have been incredible for Geraldine Walker to tell you that story. So as an author of a book where you're bringing these stories forward for people, what did it mean to you as a steward to have someone tell you that history and for you to be the one documenting and bringing it forward for random readers who might pick up your book?
Well, it was certainly shocking, and I was very appreciative that Geraldine was willing to share those very traumatic details from her past. But I also think it's incredibly valuable for the book so people can see really what the lives were like of these migrants in the South and the factors that motivated them to move north. You know, one of the reasons I chose to organize my book as I did, basically 10 short biographies of 10 individuals, was because I think seeing into the details of each person's life tells that larger story of the Great Migration much, much better than just a historical narrative where I might pull details from individual lives to illustrate points. Geraldine's life certainly is evidence of that. You can't read that and not be moved. But I think all the stories in the book, all the lives are full of moving stories of these individuals who struggled to improve their lives through migration.
We are speaking with author Blake Gumprecht. The book is North to Boston, Life Histories from the Black Great Migration in New England, and also Reverend Greg Groover, who's the senior pastor at Roxbury's Charles Street AME Church. All 10 stories, parishioners at that church, they are full lives, Reverend Groover. And I'd love to hear a little more of another story, Elta Garrett's story, but I'm also going to welcome you to pick up on anything we just talked about, if there are any threads there.
Sure, and I'll be very quick. One of the things that fascinated me about this book that blew me away, as serving as pastor of this church for 29 years, and you would think you would know your members, I learned so much more that I did not know about my members. And so when all of the congregants at Charles Street will read this book, they will learn so much more. It will just enrich our community. The thing about Geraldine is that Geraldine Walker has always been a transparent person. I always saw Geraldine reaching out, particularly to young and teenage girls, asking them after church service, how are you doing? How are you doing in school? Are you being taken care of? Geraldine later became a foster mother, and every Sunday you would see her bring in children from toddlerhood all the way up to teenage years.
She's fostered dozens of children.
So that traumatic experience, which was indeed a very horrifying experience, at the same time, I believed, served as some fertile ground for Geraldine to turn that terrifying experience around and make it into something good. And she's a phenomenal woman. She's an incredible foster parent. Single mother, a grandmother image to many. And so I just find her fascinating. Elta Garrett is a legend, is a living legend. Taught in Boston Public School for 40, almost 50 years, retired, and at Charles Street helped, she established and founded the Ruth Hamilton Elta Garrett Music and Arts Academy, which is a thriving after-school and evening program where children and adults are encouraged to produce their own music and to deepen their awareness and appreciation for Black historic music, particularly the African-American spirituals and music across the African diaspora. That program would not be here today had it not been for Elta Garrett.
So this is one of the things that's striking. There are a couple of other themes I want to make sure that we talk about here as we're discussing this book, North to Boston, which tells these 10 stories of great migration here to Boston. Blake Gumbrecht, I'll come back to you. You talk about the importance of wanting to tell the stories of everyday lives. Every single one of these stories, every person in this book is deep in their community, rooted deep. You know, many were not particularly politically active, right? But they're deep in their church, they're deep in their neighborhood, they're deep in their families. And when we don't tell those everyday stories, we miss the everyday contributions of our neighborhoods. Blake, do you feel like you got a better sense of that in diving deep into these, you know, everyday lives?
I very much did, and quite honestly, I wish I could go further with that. I wish I could write more about Boston's Black community. It's very little has been written about modern Black Boston, and I would like to do more of that by doing more interviews like these and getting to know people. It's unfortunately, I'm a long way away from Boston.
But right now. I want to stay with that.
I can't afford to live in Boston on my meager writer income. But, you know, I find those stories of ordinary people just so immensely rewarding because they really do help you see a place in a community at a very different level. I'm very much a believer in talking to individuals, talking to individuals about their lives, because I think all of those individuals form that larger community. And by getting to know people at an individual level, you learn so much more.
So Blake, Reverend Groover just gave me there are like five other things I wanted to talk about, but we have 2 minutes, so that's not going to happen. But because Blake just talked about not being able to afford to live in Boston anymore, that's the last one we'll pick up on. Because most of these stories tell of people who came in the 50s and 60s and bought homes in Dorchester and Roxbury, and how transformative that was. And that is striking, given how much you can't do that now. So close with us in these last 30 seconds or so with this idea of how we put down roots today.
I think we put down roots today, first of all, by celebrating that on one hand, while Blake is correct that these individuals were or considered in the American eyes as ordinary folks, in the Black church historically, they are extraordinary. They are. They're legends. They're leaders. They're presidents of official boards, deacon boards, steward boards. They are class leaders. They are heroes to children in the church. And so they are incredible leaders, and they are making a big difference, and they continue to make a big difference in the community.
So much more to talk about. The book, North to Boston, Life Histories from the Black Migration in New England. The author, Blake Gumprecht. The stories came from Charles Street AME Church, senior pastor there, the Reverend Greg Groover. Both have been joining us and talking about it here on Radio Boston. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Thank you.